Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Welcome back to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers. It is Field Yates and 10-year NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas hanging out with you and filling in for the guys this morning. Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max is presented by Progressive Insurance, and all guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. So, Harry, we're talking about John Madden all morning and the legacy that he leaves, the impact he had on the game, the incredible influence that he had on so many people, how he'll be remembered, not just as a coach, a player before that, a broadcaster, a video game tycoon. One thing that's clear, though, in recalling his memory, Harry, is that he loved what he did and he had incredible support behind him. And during his Hall of Fame speech in 2006, John Madden brought up the impact that his family had had on his life.
If there was a Hall of Fame for families, my family would be in the Hall of Fame. My wife, Virginia, my two sons, Joe and Mike. They talk about how hard coaches work, and they work 18, 20 hours a day. They sleep on a couch. They don't come home. And, that's not the hard job. The hard job is a coach's wife, believe me. The job of the coach's wife is she has to be mother, father, driver, doctor, nurse, coach, everything, because the coach is out there working. So, when anyone is appreciated, they have to appreciate their wife, and I had the greatest, and I have the greatest in Virginia. Thank you.
It's great stuff there, Harry, and if you think about the role that wives of coaches can play in the world of the NFL, I thought John summed it up perfectly. You and I are both married men and certainly feel as though our wives are our rocks, and it's so clear how much his family propelled and allowed John Madden to become the person that he was, because you need a backbone like that to endure the career that he did.
Phil, 100%, and I want to send my condolences to Miss Virginia Madden, because she is the rock of the family, right? She holds everything down. She allowed him to be able to be great and be himself. She shared him with so many people across the world, right? And it's one of the things I think gets lost when it comes to coaches, players, people who spend a lot of time at their workplace, is that the people back home, right, especially the wives, being the rock of the family, holding things down, and like John Madden mentioned, they're the doctor, they're mommy, that sometimes they have to be daddy. Because when you're in tune and intact in what you're doing and you want to be great, you have to focus, and it takes that level of focus as well. So that's why I want to take this moment to give her a major shout out and send my condolences to her, because without her blessings, I don't know if John Madden would have been John Madden, because she made home a safe haven for him and gave him an avenue to be himself and share him with so many more. She could have easily been selfish and said, you know what? No, I want you here with me. But that's not what she did. She knew he would be happy doing what he was doing. She allowed that to transpire. She supported him 100%. And I'm telling you, man, these wives out here, these coaches' wives, they deserve the utmost respect, because they endure a lot. And when I mean a lot. Phil, even with us being in the media world, right, there's times, and you have a baby that's about to be born, and I have two kids right now. Right now I'm in Miami and I'm doing this show. So my wife has to be back home with the kids. So the wives, I want to give a major shout out to them, and particularly I want to give a shout out to Virginia Madden, because she is amazing. She is the hero of that family, because she allowed John Madden to be great.
Earlier, we had Peter King from NBC Sports join us on the show, and he was talking about the time in which he rode across the country on John Madden's bus, which became legendary and iconic, as John had a fear of flying. So when he was broadcasting games, he couldn't just show up the day before. It was basically from the time the football season started until the time the football season was over, he was on the road going to games, preparing for games, studying for games, and just another way in which the support of his family allowed him to become the icon that he was, Harry. I've really enjoyed reading this piece done by Ryan Hawkinsmith on ESPN.com, and it was originally published back in April. It has been subsequently republished after the passing last night at 85 years old of John Madden, who died unexpectedly. No immediate cause of death has been released. Harry, there are so many nuggets about it that are just unbelievable to reread and recall. And to pivot to just how much stature John Madden had, how about this? We talked about how John Madden broadcasted 11 Super Bowls. He did so on four different networks. John Madden, at one point, moved to CBS Sports, and he was so prestigious in his field that his contract with CBS Sports paid him, with Fox, when he moved from CBS Sports, paid him more than any other player in the NFL was making at that time. Think about that. That just speaks to how much, and not that he did it for the money, but just to give you a picture about how much he meant to the world of broadcasting and how iconic his voice was with that league. That's how valuable he was. Can you imagine that?
That says a lot. That says a lot about him. That says a lot about how he prepared within his craft. It says a lot about how he delivered things. It also says about how he made things easier for everyone around the world to be able to understand what was going on the football field. And Phil, listen, I'm never going to shy away by saying this. He deserved every single penny that he made. Rightfully so. He deserved every bit of it.
Yep.
And he just got compensated for being great. And great, there's a price for being great. That's all. That's the best way I can put it.
Yeah, and this is actually funny in reflecting upon all these great nuggets. And one of them, going back to the bus here, is back in the mid-1980s, there was this crazy week in which John Madden had to broadcast a game in Atlanta on Sunday. He had to do a show in Las Vegas in the middle of the week, and then another game in Washington, D.C. on Sunday. So a seven-day stretch that took him from the East Coast to the West Coast back to the East Coast. And they really couldn't find a schedule in which you get on trains and cars. So it pulled some strings together and found a way to get access to Dolly Parton's tour bus for a week. He loved it. CBS loved it. The next thing you know, the Madden Cruiser was born. That is just remarkable, the way that everything came together for John Madden, who has been the topic of our show all morning, and somebody that I really do believe this, Harry. I think if you were to ask the average individual, and you asked that person, do you know the following names? Lombardi, Brady, Madden, Belichick. Those are the kind of names that would also be in the same tier as John Madden, right? The names that are in terms of recognizability. The man in Vince Lombardi, who we named the Super Bowl trophy after. Tom Brady, the greatest player to ever play. We also have Bill Belichick, the greatest coach to ever coach. John Madden is in that breath. That's the kind of cachet that he carried.
Yes, he did, 100% Phil. And like I mentioned earlier, legacy. Legacy, legacy, legacy. Your legacy means everything. How you impact people means everything. What you do for people, especially when they can never repay you, means everything, Phil. Yep. That was John Madden.
For more on the legacy of John Madden, we want to hear from you. And it's time now for us to visit the Dr. Pepper call-in line. This is Coach in California. What do you got?
Hey, guys. This is Coach from California, and I'm a little bit older than you, Yates, and you, Harry. But Coach Madden was a true innovator. And I like to see the NFL do an innovation award for him. Him and actually Bill Walsh, period, two Bay Area guys. So having grown up and gone to all of the Raider camps as I was when I was young, and going way back to the old days of Joe LaMonica and then coming all the way up until presently now, which makes it a lot tougher for us because everything that's starting in Vegas had happened in Oakland. And so I would like to see that dedication made to John Madden because he was a true innovator.
It's a great thought there, Coach, and we appreciate the call here into Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Interesting thought there, Harry. Is there a way, like I think some would say that John Madden has been honored or is honored daily because of his own legacy. Is there a way that the NFL could take it a step further and pay homage to who John Madden is? Like, I don't know about, you know, renaming any trophy because so many of the NFL's awards do not have a name already. But I wonder if there's a way that the NFL will find to weave John Madden's name back into the fabric even more.
They should be able to figure it out. And I got a question. So with the Raiders, I wouldn't be mad at them building John Madden a statue.
Mm.
I think he deserves it.
That's not a bad idea.
I think he 100% deserves it.
Yeah, he is one of the greatest icons in Raiders history. Obviously, Al Davis is probably the signature icon in that franchise's history. But there are certainly many who think of John Madden and the Raiders. He helped them to a Super Bowl, a wonderful career as a head coach, and then several other chapters, including a broadcaster, and of course, a video game tycoon. We mentioned that football world was hit hard twice yesterday as we lost not just John Madden, but also a colleague and beloved friend here at ESPN and ESPN Radio. Jeff Dickerson was our ESPN NFL Nation Chicago Bears reporter. Chicago is where he was born and raised. He went to the University of Illinois, incredibly well known to anybody in the Chicago area, and a frequent contributor and host here on ESPN Radio. And he succumbed to his battle with colon cancer yesterday at 44 years old. Incredibly sad news in and of itself, only compounded by the fact that his wife lost her battle to lymphoma back in 2019. We're all hurting hard here this morning, thinking about J.D., Harry, and beyond being an excellent reporter and friend and colleague and person, he's also a father to an 11-year-old Parker, and it's unfathomable to think about an 11-year-old having to endure pain twice in such a short period of time.
Yeah, and you know he loved his son more than anything in this world. And my condolences are to his family and his son. And I just want to tell his son, remain strong and lean on whoever you need to lean on, or if you need to, you need time. You need to take time away from things. Do so, because I think if you need it, you should do it. And it's just a sad story to see a young man lose both of his parents. I don't even want to imagine what that's like. But this young man has to go through that, and the world, everybody around needs to support him and help him along the way.
If you're looking for an opportunity to help make Parker's path a little bit easier, there has been a GoFundMe set up. I have it on my Twitter page, at Field Yates, if you want to go make a contribution to Parker. And we're certainly never going to forget Jeff Dickerson, somebody whose legacy will be remembered here at ESPN, also ESPN Radio. There's really no easy way to move on from somebody like that who made such a great, great impact on us. But we are going to try to do a little take your pick here. And Evan, you're going to help us out. What do you got?
You've got questions and we've got options. Take your pick.
We ready?
All right, here we go. Guys, going to play take your pick. And
let's do it.
We're going to have you guys pick quarterbacks you take going forward. And it doesn't necessarily mean it's going forward like for the you know, long-term future. It could be a couple years. You'll see as we move along. But we'll start with this one. Trey Lance might get his first start this weekend. So Trey Lance, Justin Fields, who are you taking as your quarterback to start your franchise? Harry, start with you.
So this one is a little tricky. Evan, I'll be honest, this is tricky. And a lot of people will say Justin Fields. But the reason why I'm not going to choose Justin Fields is because I don't even know who his coach is going to be. I don't know how they're going to groom him and allow him to grow to be great. So those are still question marks. With Trey Lance, we do know Kyle Shanahan and that offensive system. He can thrive in that. He just has to grow into it. So I'm going to take Trey Lance right now.
So let me start by something. And this is not the way that you sell on radio, right? Radio is when you get the take that everybody wants to disagree with or agree with. I'm trying to be a little more even keeled here. That's just the way that I roll. I will take Trey Lance, though, for the exact reason that you just highlighted, is that what we have seen in the NFL is that situation matters so, so, so much. Right now, the best rookie quarterback, really by far this season, has been Mac Jones, even if he's been a little bit in a slump recently. Mac Jones is a good, really good player, obviously, and was a really talented guy coming out of the draft. He also went to the best set of circumstances, easily the best roster and easily the best coaching staff and support around him. That's going to pay huge dividends for Mac Jones going forward. I just have no idea what's going to happen in Chicago next year. We don't know who the coach is going to be. We don't know who the general manager is going to be. We don't know who the offensive lineman will be. There are so many more questions than answers right now in Chicago. Trey Lance has more systematic support around him than I think anybody else, or excuse me, than Justin Fields does right now in Chicago.
All right, Lamar Jackson's won an MVP for a lot of this season. Kyler Murray was the favorite to be the MVP. So going forward, Lamar Jackson or Kyler Murray, who are you taking?
I'm taking Lamar Jackson because the simple fact that I think Lamar Jackson is a leader. He's already been an MVP. He doesn't have bad body language on a consistent basis. I think he has a better team around him. We've seen this team, the Baltimore Ravens, be depleted this year, but they leaned on the back of Lamar Jackson. We know he can handle the pressure and take that pressure of putting the team on his back. Kyler Murray, right now down the season, he's starting to fade away. So I'm going to go with Lamar Jackson with this one. Plus, he's a Louisville alum. Need I say more?
Of course you're going to go with the Louisville guy. But I am as well, and here's the reason why. So I think both of them have a notable hole on their resume that we're trying to fill out, which is that neither of them has, or I should say that they need to win bigger in the playoffs, right? We know that's something that has eluded the Ravens to great success so far, but they may get there. But with Kyler, they're going to get there. They're there this year, obviously. But they got to do more damage. They got to do some damage in the postseason. I think, though, Harry, that Lamar this year, during a 5 or 6 game stretch, like did as much as we've seen a quarterback do in quite some time, given the circumstances around him. That roster was so depleted and so young on offense at so many key spots. Lamar's brilliance was perhaps overlooked in some ways. So I do believe that Lamar Jackson is the answer here. I don't know that it's one of those, like, it might be like a 60-40, maybe a 70-30 debate as opposed to a 90-10, but I think it's Lamar Jackson.
Yep.
Trevor Lawrence or Zach Wilson? We saw these top two picks play each other this weekend. You could argue one outplayed the other. I won't say which one I thought outplayed which one, but Zach Wilson or Trevor Lawrence Field, who are you taking going forward?
I'm still going to stick with Trevor Lawrence. And I understand that this year it's close to a toss-up in terms of who has been the more effective player. Zach Wilson missed some time due to the injury. I would say, though, that Trevor Lawrence's season has been underwhelming relative to what I thought it was going to be. Like, I don't know if it's worst-case scenario, but I definitely didn't think that he would have 9 touchdown passes 17 weeks into the season. I'll go with Trevor Lawrence. And I'm going to bank on the possibility of him having a much better offensive system in place. We were talking about this earlier with Trey Lance and Justin Fields. Hopefully there is much more support around Trevor Lawrence this upcoming season. I'll go with Trevor, but Zach has done some good things recently for the Jets, and there have been some recent signs, including this past week when he had a 52-yard touchdown run, that playmaking ability we saw at BYU could soon translate in a major way at the NFL level.
I love it, Phil. I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence as well. He was the number one draft pick for a reason. I love his upside. I think he's a guy who can do it with his arm. He can do it with his legs. He has the intelligence to play the game at that position. And he has a little bravado to himself as well. He understands that he is that guy. I know he has a lot of interceptions this year, but my goodness, his brain has been clouded. He got to worry about this with his head coach, that with his head coach, all kind of nonsense with his head coach. Once they get the right leader of men, and an offensive guy in there who can allow Trevor Lawrence to be great, I think he's going to extend, and I think a lot of people are going to forget everything that happened this year. So I'm going to go with Trevor Lawrence.
All right, Joe Burrow's coming off a career day. Justin Herbert had an incredible rookie season. So from the 2020 draft class, who are you taking going forward, Joe Burrow or Justin Herbert? Harry?
Surprisingly, I'm going to take Justin Herbert. I think Justin Herbert has the better upside, and I understand Joey B right now. He's playing a good brand of football. I'm going to take Justin Herbert, though, because I believe he can make throws that we only see from Aaron Rodgers and Patrick Mahomes. I think he has those intangibles. I don't think he has an outstanding offensive line either. So I'm going to go with Justin Herbert.
I'm going to go with Justin Herbert as well. This one's extremely close. Justin Herbert has been less consistent than Joe Burrow this season. He's had some down moments that have been befuddling. I do think the upside is slightly higher, though, for Justin Herbert, who's so good on these second reaction plays, a guy who just finds a way to do something marvelous every single week. But I'm actually not worried about the marvelous moments going forward. I want the consistent moments going forward. But give me Justin Herbert.
All right, college teammates here are playing pretty well right now in the NFL. Jalen Hurts, Tua Tagovailoa. Field, who are you taking going forward?
I'm taking Jalen Hurts, who I just think is a potentially dynamic dual-threat quarterback. He's been so good with his legs this year and obviously developing as a passer as well. A little bit better on balls down the field. Give me Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, I'm going to take Jalen Hurts as well. I think Jalen Hurts is just a better quarterback. He can do it with his legs. He can do it with his arm. Got to be more consistent there, though. But I think he had that. He was coached by his coach, so. He has the intangibles to be great. He just got to put it all together. But I'm going to take Jalen Hurts.
All right. There's two quarterbacks. Might be on the trade block this offseason. Derek Carr, Russell Wilson. So, Field, if you're the GM of a team that needs a quarterback, which one are you taking?
Yeah, it's still Russell Wilson. And I understand that his season has been a major downer this year, just 2,500 passing yards. But I think Russell Wilson's body of work, resume, skill set, all those supersede Derek Carr, who's a solid, solid player. But Russell Wilson is the pick. And the contract, I know it sounds big right now, but I think Russell Wilson's going to be worth every penny. This has been an outlier season.
Yeah, I'm taking Russell Wilson as well, a guy who's been consistent since the moment he stepped foot into the NFL, into the Seahawks organization. And I don't even think it's close when it comes to this. I think Russell Wilson, we've seen how many holes got filled when he wasn't playing for the Seattle Seahawks. I think he's that great. I think he throws the best deep ball in the NFL still to this day. It's like a little rainbow and with Skittles dropping down. Marshawn Lynch, he loves those Skittles. So I'm going to go with Russell Wilson.
All right, and there you have it. Our game of Take Your Pick has concluded. Harry's picks were all correct. Mine, we shall see one day down the road. All right, so we go from the NFL to college football, and one Alabama quarterback who accomplished something Tua and Jalen could not.
We all know breakfast is an important part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any. You know what happens? You grab a cup of coffee and skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, and waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Hi, it's Mike Greenberg letting you know ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sportsbook of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me, plus many more. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today. New users get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast.
Cincinnati is fourth, the first group of five team to make the playoff, and they'll meet number one Alabama. In the other, it'll be second-ranked Michigan and number three Georgia.
SportsCenter is brought to you by Straight Talk Wireless. Try the $45 Silver Unlimited plan from Straight Talk Wireless with nationwide 5G and America's best network. Straight Talk Wireless, no contract, no compromise. See terms and conditions at straighttalk.com. 5G capable device required. Actual availability, coverage, and speed may vary. And it's time now for us to head out to the Goodyear Hotline, brought to you by Goodyear, making the plays that move you forward. Goodyear, more driven. And we say hello to somebody that everybody knows and needs really no introduction. She is the host of NFL Live. She is the host of SEC Nation. You wake up one morning and you see her talking about pro football. The next day, talking about college football. You saw her on Monday night at the sidelines for Saints and Dolphins. She is the great Laura Rutledge. Laura, good morning to you.
Good morning. How are you guys?
We're doing great, and better that we have you on the show. And this week, you're pulling double duty, as we said. NFL on Monday, and now you're getting ready for the big games on Friday, specifically the Alabama and Cincinnati game, Laura. And Alabama may be the number one team in the polls, but their linebacker, Will Anderson, perhaps the best player in the country, told reporters on Monday he feels like the Tide are somehow underdogs in their game against Cincinnati. Why do you think that's their mindset heading into this matchup after such a dominating finish to their season against Georgia?
I really think they believe that that's the case, Field. I mean, it's so interesting because, listen, I know it sounds crazy, and they know they're really good, right? But this entire season, I think, is more the reason why they feel that way, because every step of the way it's been, well, Alabama didn't win by enough, or Alabama didn't look good, or they lost to Texas A&M, or they should have lost the Iron Bowl. And it really wasn't until the SEC championship game where we really saw them come out there in dominant fashion against a Georgia team that had been the best team in the country the entire year for the most part. For them to do what they did against Georgia, I don't know how they could look at that and say that they're still underdogs, but in their minds, it's more about the collective body of work and how people looked at them. And listen, like, let's be real here. And my friend Marcus Spears, y'all's friend too, said this the other day. There's no way they feel like they're the underdog. And I get that. But I think for them, it's more about they almost feel they have to believe it. They almost feel they have to feel that way, because the last thing they want to do at this point is get caught making it this far when a lot of people thought they couldn't at times this season, and get caught sort of sleeping on a team like Cincinnati, which, by the way, no one should be sleeping on Cincinnati. I'm not saying Cincinnati's winning the game. Cincinnati is a talented team. They have a great quarterback. They have great coaching. Their defense can do some things. I don't think that the Tide are wrong to be looking at them as a heavy competitor going into this game.
Laura, first things first, I notice everything that goes on when it comes to TV. You have to be the number one person who has their hair slayed. When I mean slayed, I mean looking amazing every time you're on the tube. So I got to give you a shout out there, first of all, Laura.
I'm not doing it, so I deserve no credit. But, you know, listen, I would say that maybe the other person that deserves some credit in the hair department is our friend Field. Like, have you seen his hair? Because it's always it's always absolutely perfect, too. He could maybe do some different styles. That's the only thing that we're missing out with Field. I think I want to see him maybe with, you know, a few different ponytails or something like that. Let's try that.
Coming soon.
Hilarious. Now, I want to ask you about Cincinnati. What's one thing that you think has to happen for Cincinnati to actually beat Alabama?
Well, I may sound like a college football coach here saying this, but I do think this is true. I think early on they need to get some sort of big-time turnover, momentum swinger in that way. And I'm talking about their defense does something to rattle Alabama's offense. I think there are some things you can do with Jameson Williams, right? You almost look at the model that you saw, you know, with a team like Auburn sort of putting somebody on him the entire time. They have some matchups that can work in their favor there, Cincinnati does. Try to limit the talented receiver. Don't let him go so vertical on you, because without John Mechie, they don't really have a guy that can sort of be your intermediate route guy. They're going to need somebody else to step up, right? I shouldn't say they don't have somebody. Alabama has plenty of players who could step up, but not as proven as Mechie and not as reliable. And so from that standpoint, I think if you can kind of limit Williams and sort of frustrate him, I mean, he got so frustrated in that Auburn game, which led to him, he ended up getting ejected, but was not very effective in that game. So I think that's a key thing. But early turnover, try to limit Williams early. Don't let them sort of take it over the top early like they did against Georgia in the SEC championship game. But I think for Cincinnati, if it goes that way and they get a few other breaks, you know, stay aggressive throughout the game. Their field goal kicking situation is suspect, so you may see them go for it a lot on fourth down. I think they should, honestly. They could be in a competitive game late in the fourth quarter.
Laura, Nick Saban had a hilarious comment about how the media delivered some yummy rat poison to Alabama prior to their game against Georgia in the SEC championship. But I think it was reflective of the fact that Alabama in 2020 was the clear-cut best team with the best player in the country in Devontae Smith, the best quarterback in the country in Mac Jones, and the best of a lot of things. This year was a little bit more of a struggle to reach this point. Do you believe Alabama had a turning point in their own minds, that they went from a team that they knew was good to a team that potentially could be great?
You know, I actually do. And I think, Field, it happened in the Iron Bowl, winning that game in overtime. And people would look at that and say, well, it was Auburn, and Auburn wasn't that good, and why should you say that that would be the case? But the reality is Auburn is a talented team. They probably didn't have the record that they would like to, you know, look back on and say they had this year. But from a matchup standpoint against Alabama and some of the guys they have on their D-line, things they can do on the edge, things that other teams can't do, they were a difficult matchup for Alabama. It was kind of similar to some of the things that A&M did early on in the season that sort of set a blueprint out there to say, this is how you can defend Alabama. This is how you can have success against Alabama's defense on the other side. And I believe that a lot of teams followed that blueprint, and Auburn really had the guys to follow the blueprint. So for them to win that game in overtime when it seemed like they were left for dead, even the drive that Bryce Young orchestrated to get them to overtime, I believe that was a turning point that allowed them to say, all right, we got past that super difficult game that we probably should have lost. Now we go into the SEC championship game. We have a good plan for Georgia. And, of course, beating Georgia was just what would whet this Alabama team's appetite to say, there's so much more for us down the road. Their goal, of course, is to win a national championship, as it is every single year.
Mrs. Laura, you know what? Forget that. I feel like I know you personally. I'm going to call you Sus. Sus, when you look at this matchup, I think a lot, I don't think a lot of people aren't talking about the matchup between Jameson Williams and Amar Gardner and either Jameson Williams in the corner, Kobe Bryant. How do you see that matchup faring for either one of those guys?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm talking about when it comes to putting one of those guys or, you know, switching them around, whatever you got to do to keep somebody on Jameson Williams throughout this game and frustrate him. Do not let him have any opportunity to turn those wheels on and go as fast as he possibly can. I was standing on the sideline when he had that touchdown catch that was, or actually it was the catch that led to a touchdown down the sideline at the SEC championship game. That dude is so fast. I can't even get, it's like, it's not even just like, you know, 40-yard dash time. It is like game speed that you just don't see that regularly. It's special. So, but those two that you mentioned, they can keep up with him. And I think that's going to be key. You got to try to limit him as much as you can, obviously, but just even having somebody on him the entire game, battling with him, that's the approach with him, and especially exploiting the opportunity that Cincinnati has, having a really good secondary, doing everything they can to really make sure that that's a matchup that they try to take advantage of.
Laura, when I think about the iconic members of the college football media besides yourself, certainly think about the likes of Kirk Herbstreit and Lee Corso and the entire set of College Game Day and your set on SEC Nation, Tim Tebow, Jordan Rogers, Roman Harper, but really I think about Reese Rutledge. Really a savant at the young age of two, who has been as money with her picks as anybody I've seen in the college football media all season. I need to know, the games are on Friday. I know this is not only an SEC matchup here, but are we going to get some Reese picks before Friday's action?
Oh, yeah. Reese is picking this game. And she currently has a 12-3 record on the season.
Incredible.
So a lot on the line with this one, right? But by the way, 12-3, people always say, Phil, they're like, oh, are you telling her what to do? I'm like, if I were telling her what to do, I wouldn't have got 12-3. I mean, it's absolutely insane. She picked Alabama. It was so funny. She picked Alabama in the SEC championship game. And I was like, maybe if I position the Georgia helmet like a little closer to her, maybe she'll go there, you know, just trying to outsmart my toddler. Right. And then turns out she knew way more than I did. And she was right about Alabama as the underdog pick. So, yeah, she has picked this game. Her pick will debut sometime on Friday before the game. And it's a really fun one. She had a lot of fun with this one.
All right, I haven't made my pick for the game, and I'm reserving the right to wait until after Reese has made her pick. Reese and Laura's husband and I are going to go to Vegas this offseason and go make ourselves some money. Mostly Reese is making it for us. Laura, we appreciate you getting up early and making some time for us here on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. Enjoy the game on Friday, and can't wait to see you again soon back here in Bristol.
Yeah, thank you guys so much. Have a great day.
Right back to you, Laura. The absolute best. Seriously, find someone better than Laura Rutledge. You'll spend your entire time looking for that person. We're just getting started here. We still have plenty more ahead on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max. And one player we really think has a chance to enhance his MVP resume as we turn back to the NFL this Sunday.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive.
eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply.
Have you ridden an electric e-bike yet? You need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. Two things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to spend more time exploring outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range or up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus! Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting electricebikes.com. That's electricebikes.com.
The Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max Podcast.
Colts quarterback Carson Wentz has been put on the COVID-19 list. Wentz is unvaccinated, so as of now, he's out 10 days, including Sunday's game against the Raiders.
Frank Reich has shown that he's a coach that can get his team wound up to overcome challenges.
Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max on ESPN Radio, Sirius XM Channel 80, and your smart speakers is back. Keyshawn, J. Will, Max is presented by Progressive Insurance. It's Field Yates and 10-year NFL wide receiver Harry Douglas filling in for the guys this morning. And, Harry, we just heard the clip yesterday from Christine Lisi on a Sports Center update about how Colts quarterback Carson Wentz had tested positive for COVID-19 as an unvaccinated player. That means that he is out for 10 days. That was prior to the NFL amending its protocols, which now allows for players vaccinated or unvaccinated to return after 5 days of quarantining, presuming one of two things. They are asymptomatic or their symptoms are lessening. The other caveat to note is that if you are a vaccinated player, you can test out of protocols sooner than 5 days. This could have been a much different story if not for those updated protocols here, Harry. But if a world exists in which the Colts don't have Carson Wentz on Sunday, which would mean that he is still experiencing symptoms if he is indeed symptomatic, what does it mean for the opportunity that Jonathan Taylor has to bolster his MVP resume?
Oh, I think it's a huge, huge weekend for him if Carson Wentz won't be able to play in that game. Because of the simple fact that I understand they have leaned on Jonathan Taylor this entire year, right? The Colts, right? Frank Wright in the offensive system. But with no Carson Wentz, that means Sam Ehlinger would have to be the starting quarterback. Sam Ehlinger, the last few times I've seen him play, which was preseason, Phil, 3 games, 3 interceptions. So that's not good. That's not good at all. So I think now Jonathan Taylor, if Sam Ehlinger is that quarterback, I think Frank Wright is going to lean on him even more, which I think Jonathan Taylor is ready for because I think he's just built like that. He's built different. He is a grown man on a mission. And if he has I won't say a breakout game. If he has a game where he gets about, let's say, 150, 160, 180, 180 yards, now he's going to boost his chances of being the NFL's MVP even more because – everybody going into a football game knows that who's ever playing the Colts, defensively, you have to stop Jonathan Taylor. The bad thing about that is that no one has been able to stop Jonathan Taylor, especially down the stretch. With this Colts football team and the winning record that they have, what is it, the last 6 or 7 games?
Well, they're 9-6 now after starting 1-4. So I guess the math would be 8-2 their last 10. They've been very impressive.
Yeah, 8-2 over the last 10 games, and Jonathan Taylor has been I won't say a big part of that. Jonathan Taylor has been all of that, yeah. Along with the defense. They played a role. But Carson Wentz, I thought last weekend he did a tremendous job extending plays, utilizing his legs, and delivering a hell of a touchdown in the back of the end zone against the Arizona Cardinals. If he's not able to play, I don't think they're going to be able to trust Sam Ehlinger like that. And if Sam Ehlinger is playing, they're going to have to give him easy completions, Phil, easy completions early on to gain his confidence. Jonathan Taylor is going to have to understand that he's going to be ridden. He's going to be the bell cow. I know he's been the bell cow all year, but the bell cow at another level. The skill position players for the Colts, they have to be that much better as well. They have to be great. They can't drop balls. If Sam Ehlinger throws the football and it's not exactly where it's supposed to be, make a remarkable catch. You're going to have to do that. Defensively, they're going to have to understand that, hey, we have a rookie quarterback back there. We got to get some takeaways on our end. If he turns the football over, sudden change, we have to be great and either hold the opposing team to a field goal or stop them and make them punt. These are all the things that this football team are gonna have to endure if they have a rookie quarterback in Sam Ehlinger out there playing this weekend.
Yeah, it sounds like they'll have Carson Wentz. We shall see, but it sounds like that's the way that things are going. I don't know that we can underscore just how significant the changes to yesterday's protocols were for the NFL, because essentially what we're talking about is that if a player is on the COVID-19 list, placed on that list Monday or Tuesday of that week, he now has a real shot of playing on Sunday every game from here on out, except for a Monday night game in week 17 and then two Saturday games in week 18, plus the Super Wild Card weekend Monday night game will be played on Sunday, Harry, which means that like players are going to have a chance of returning. And it's worth noting that there are, of the players that are on the COVID-19 list right now, the NFL has revealed that like the overwhelming majority of them are experiencing little to no symptoms. So the fact that the NFL changed its protocols, I do think is significant here. I think the NFL is hoping that we're not going to be talking every single Sunday morning about how X team is down four starting offensive linemen, three linebackers, and their punter. I think the hope is that sooner rather than later, we're not discussing COVID absence nearly as much. We have just about a minute here left in the segment, Harry. The Colts, are they a team? Are they the team in the AFC that the top tier division leaders don't want to face right now?
I think they're one of them. I think they're one of them because of the physicality that they bring. They have a brand of football, and we all know if you're not playing at home, which the Colts probably won't be doing because they have to win the division, most teams in the AFC don't play in domes. So the weather's going to be cold, the weather's going to be bad, it's going to be snowing, it's probably going to be raining. You got to deal with all those type of things, right? So what's the brand of football you have to play? You have to be able to make plays in the pass game, but yes, you have to be dominant in the run game, and their offensive line is dominant. You have to be solid defensively. They're solid defensively. The way they create turnovers, they didn't get any this past game, but turnovers are very, very important to this team. And when you can give this offense an extra possession and they control the clock on the ground, they have a chance in any matchup that they're in.
John Madden had a major impact on football, probably more than you know. That's next on Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Keyshawn, J. Will, and Max, the podcast. Check the guys out live weekday mornings from 6 to 10 Eastern on ESPN Radio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.